Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thanks. And those of you that didn't clap, you just don't know me. That's right. Every 6 months for the last 6.5 years, Lisa and I have been coming to New York to see her doctor. And we found out 6.5 years ago that she has a type of lymphoma that's incurable. And at that time, they didn't give her very long to live. But there's a doctor that we've known for years and years and years who put her on a protocol. And as you can see, I can't get rid of her. We come here, we spend a week, we do everything except sleep. But one of the wonderful things is to get to be here with you here today.
I'm so excited to just get to see all of you. And I just wanted to say that, I love you. I mean, it's amazing, the memories and the vision and the faith building. It was one of the greatest honors God ever gave me to be allowed to move to New York City with a group of people and to share Jesus with the city. And so to just see what it has become, it just encourages my heart. And Debbie and Sheridan, I think that you know this, of course, but they are precious treasures. And I'm so grateful for you that you get to be with them. They have hearts of gold, and they are active listeners. They know how to hear you and how to love you. And I love that. You know, Jesus said to love one another as I've loved you. What a high calling. I mean, that's an incredible thing. But he also said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you know, that as you love yourself is what really it's all about. That our whole worldview and everything that matters has to be loving others as we love ourselves, because that's how we love Jesus. That's how we love God. And so I think that I've never seen people that was more embodied in. And in the New York church. So if you're visiting today, I just want to tell you, you're in a wonderful place with wonderful people. And people that are really not just religious, but trying very hard to actually be like Jesus, to put him on in their lives and to live like him, to love like him, to not be selfish, but to love deeply from the heart, and to put you and your interest ahead of their own. And so, welcome, and thank you for welcoming me. It's glad to be back home, and I love you.
I could talk about the rites all day long, but I only have a little bit of time. And so I'm going to talk about John Scamardell instead. You have a celebrity in your midst, and that's John. Where is John right now? John, you know, we did this show in St. Louis last summer, and for months now, my daughter and Sherwin and a number of us have been editing, and so I have been watching John, and I adore you and your family, and thank you so much for what you've done. And pretty soon, how many of you have already bought, and you're waiting on the DVD? Anybody? There's three of you. Lisa, let's go. These are not my people. They're my people. I very, very soon, I hope that all of you will get this DVD to watch it for. And you, especially, you've got John. And it was really amazing what the brothers and sisters did to make not only Jesus come to life, but to give us sort of an insight and to imagine disciples that lived 2,000 years ago. Because let me tell you something, they were just like you. And that's not supposed to scare you. That's supposed to make us realize that Jesus came to the world to save us, to save real people. Dirty people, sinful people, folks just like us, And the way he did it was after setting the supreme sacrifice, he chose people just like us to share the message. And the thing, if you got your Bibles, if you got an electric Bible, if you got a real Bible, if you got a Bible memorized, there's one verse I wanted to point out. You've probably read it a zillion times in Matthew chapter 26, around verse 47. But I wanted to point out that one specific verse and share something about something that's not in Matthew. In Matthew 26, Jesus is going to take the bread and say, this is my body. And then he's going to take the cup, and in verse 47 it says, this is my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you've studied your Bible very much, you can remember a time when Jesus told everybody following him, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have anything to do with it. Do you remember that? And you know what happened when he said that? There's a lot of people left him. A lot. And what did the apostles say? You remember? You're doing good. Come on, then.
This is a strange teaching.
This is a hard, strange teaching. That's in the Greek version that only John reads. The apostles, Jesus said, you got to eat my flesh, drink my blood. And the apostles came up and they said, Lord, this is a hard teaching. And drink your blood, eat your flesh. I mean, it sounds like an episode of The Walking Dead or Supernatural or something like that. What's going on? And if you think I'm being funny, it felt like that. It sounded like that to people 2,000 years ago, and they didn't even have pay TV or anything like that. It says lots of people left. Matthew explains, he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Well, in John, I want to go to John just for a second, and we don't have time to actually read the whole thing. But were you already aware that in John from chapter 13 through 17, John 13, John 14, 15, 16, 17, those chapters are all about one night, really about one meal. And it actually begins, the meal has already started, and Jesus gets up from the meal and goes and washes the disciples' feet. But it's during that time, having washed the feet and teaching them, that like Matthew said, he's going to take the bread, and he's going to say, this is my body, take the cup and say, this is my blood. And I believe when he said those words, there was a collective sigh of relief from the apostles. They had hung in there with him. People had left. But Jesus took the bread, and I think it was almost with a twinkle in his eye when he took the bread and said, this is my flesh. You've got to eat it. He said, this is his flesh. This. And I'm sure Peter said, I knew it all along. I knew. And then he said, and he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. And he said, But what was going on at that time was not just enlightenment for the apostles. Something happened right then that we're going to participate in. Something happened that had been established for over 1,500 years with the Jewish community. They had this supper. During this supper, everything was symbolic. It was all about leaving slavery for freedom. And it was about the escape of Egypt. As Church of Christ little kids, we all learned that it's unleavened bread because it's bread made in haste. But that meal had many other elements to it. And that meal was to represent their flight from Egypt. But on that night, on that moment in history, Jesus changed all of it. And as good as it is, if you have the brains and you want to study and you want to get into Hebrew history and you want to learn all of these Hebrew customs, I'm not downing that. That's a good thing. But that night, Jesus made it so you don't have to. You really don't have to. It all changed. Because whatever it had been before, at that moment it changed. He says, this is my body. And he would teach us that that means us, not just the bread, but us. And he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. Whatever the toast had meant, and that they didn't just drink one sip of wine in a Passover meal. They drank at least four times for four different reasons. But Jesus says, it's my blood. And he changed it all so that all of us Gentiles, even people from Staten Island, look at the thumb. us can be disciples of Jesus. If we remember that the body that hung on the cross is supposed to live out his life right now through us. So at this time, let's say a prayer, and let's first take the bread, and then I'll say another prayer in a moment. Can we do it? I know we got these little things.
You can do pray for both of them.
I'm just going to say one prayer. That's different than how they did it in the Bible. Far be it from me to be a legalist. I usually do. Is it difficult to?
Yeah,
I've done this a couple of times.
About yourself.
But you don't want to spill this part, right? You peel it off. I've got one more thing to say before we do this. This isn't how they did it 2,000 years ago, folks. But this is okay. This is okay. But what we're about to do is more like what they did 2,000 years ago than what we're doing right now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this isn't... I've been drinking out of plastic cups at church my whole life, and I'm sick of it. Not sick of Jesus, and not sick of communion, and not sick of doing this with you. I just want to plant something in your mind.
Come on.
There are two things you can't do with someone you don't love. And that's eat and sleep. You can't feel safe closing your eyes. I've slept with a woman for 39 years because I knew she wasn't going to kill me. There were times I just trusted in her faith in God and not, but... So, we believe in Christian marriage, and while I know that some people try to not do it that way, eventually they learn what I'm saying is true. You can't really sleep with someone that you don't trust. And you can't really eat with people that you don't trust or like. You might fake it a little bit, but if you really want to chow down and have a good time, that is one of the most intimate things you can do with people. And while we're drinking this and eating this, and in a moment while we're doing this, remember this one thing about Jesus who sacrificed himself for us. He didn't tell us that he wanted a big tombstone. He didn't need one. He didn't tell us to build big cathedrals, though I love big church buildings. Those are fine. He didn't tell us to write monuments all over the world. He told us to be his body and to remember his blood. And he gave us the memorial in a meal. And personally, I think every time we eat, it's supposed to be communion. But I'll get into that some other time. Because we're either bringing someone in to eat with us that we want them to become a Christian, or we're eating with a Christian. Or you're eating alone, and that's just sad. So let's right now think about the body and the blood of Jesus. Have a prayer, and then do your thing. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for how you take care of us. Thank you for the sacrifice you made, and thank you for this memorial. You wanted to be sure we had bread and wine at least once a week. You wanted to be sure that we remembered the sacrifice that was made. And as we do this, help us do it in a way that's pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.